CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
All right, well, good afternoon. My name is Jeremy Cadlick from Edgewood Solutions. How's everybody doing today? Good. Everybody enjoying CF United? How many people is it this their first CF United session? Wow. First CF United session? All those people. Wow, that's awesome. Actually, last year was my first opportunity to come to CF United. I'm definitely really happy that I had another opportunity this year. I definitely enjoyed it. Definitely a much different conference than other conferences I've attended. There's a lot of networking. There's a lot of good ways to learn information, not just from the speakers, but from also your peers. In this session here, what I want to talk about is SQL Server 2000 and 2005 performance tuning. So I want to cover three basic areas. The first one being what I like to call the reality, and that being the reality behind what it really takes to achieve high performance in a SQL Server environment. Second being what it takes really to design and develop a system that's going to achieve high performance in the long term. Not just something short term where, hey, listen, we've gotten through A, B, and C, but hopefully have enough vision, and there again, take the knowledge that you guys have technically as well as about your business and your users to really figure out what you need to do to achieve high performance. Third, taking a look at monitoring and diagnosing SQL Server applications. So we're going to take a look at the tools, go through a lot of demos from that that portion of the presentation. If you have questions, please stop me. I know I only have an hour, but if I can address your question quickly, I certainly will. If I can't, please accept my apologies now. And please stop up to our booth. Edgewood Solutions has a booth this year at CF United. Please stop up there, and I'll definitely do everything I can to answer your questions. Finally, please complete your session surveys. I know how important it is to CF United, as well as to myself as a speaker, to try to get some feedback to really understand what works, what doesn't work, what I can improve on. So definitely encourage you guys to provide that feedback. So a little bit about me. As I said, my name is Jeremy Cadlick from Edgewood Solutions. Our company is focused on Microsoft SQL Server, and that's it. One of the other offerings we have, we just started a website by the name of mssqltips.com. So you can go out to the site. We actually send out a tip every day, something that we consider valuable, technically valuable, to developers, DBAs, people in the industry. We also have a white paper out on our site called the SQL Server 2005 Adoption Rate Report. So just out of curiosity, how many people are on SQL Server 6.5? One person? Okay. So nobody's on 6.5? Okay, well, I commend you for that. What about 7.0? A couple people? Okay. What about 2000? Just about everybody? What about 2005? A couple people. I commend you guys for that as well. So in this report, what we actually walk through is some of the risks, some of the findings from information in the industry. So what we did is we put out a survey and actually got feedback from developers, DBAs across industries, across disciplines, Cold Fusion, ASP, and even learned some information about Oracle. So if you're interested, definitely take a look at that. Final point here is I'm local. I'm here in the Baltimore, Washington area and run the Northern Virginia SQL Server Users Group. And I'm sure not many people are from the area here, but how many people attend user group meetings? If not monthly, at least a couple times a year. For the people who don't, do you have user groups in your area? Some do, some don't. Well, if you don't, I really encourage you, get in touch with a couple people, whether it's a couple people you work with, a couple people in the area, try to see if you can pull together a user group. I can't tell you how valuable it is, not only to me as organizing it, but also to the people who attend the meetings. And there again, it's not just the person who's up in front of the group speaking, but it's also the opportunity for everybody to network and talk with each other and say, hey, I'm having this problem, and be able to bounce it off a couple people. So I definitely encourage you guys that if you don't have a user group in your area, whether it's related to Cold Fusion or other technologies, definitely encourage you guys to try to seek out some opportunities to try to build one. So first piece here is talk about the reality behind performance tuning. And a lot of times, these aren't topics that IT people, and especially IT management, don't want to hear. Because part of the problem is that when we take a look at technology, it's not just a quick slam bang, get an application out the door. It really takes time, really takes a combination of people, process, and technology. A good understanding of the best practices, as well as something that I call the performance tuning circle of life. So talking about people, process, and technology, all these pieces of the pie, as far as I'm concerned, are equal. But what really drives this whole paradigm here is the people. The people, the highly trained, intelligent folks that you are, build the processes and build the technology that's really necessary to achieve the results that the business needs. So there again, as people, which we all are, definitely want to make sure that you understand that it's definitely critical to take the time to understand what it takes and how the technology can be built to solve the problem. Because if you look at the issue just from a technology perspective, you're leaving out some very critical components. Next, I want to talk about best practices. So from this point in time, I want to think about building applications. So when we talk about building applications, just by a show of hands, how many people have performance metrics, something that they can quantify in their requirements documents? Nobody. One person. In your requirements analysis, your requirements documents. What's that? Must be another class on that. One of the things I definitely encourage companies to do is try to figure out how many concurrent users you have, how much data you're really going to support, what your transactions per second are, what your user experience is going to be on your website, and really be able to quantify that. You know, if you're going to have 100 concurrent users, be able to build a system that really supports 100 concurrent users. If you want to have 1,000 transactions per second, build a system that's going to support it. But as IT people, can the users tell us this? No, right? Users can't say, users might be able to say, hey, we need to support X number of people, right? But that might be about it. So as IT people, we really need to assess the situation, really understand what the system can support, and then communicate that back to the business leaders or your users to let them know what the system can really support. If we can support 500 concurrent users, let them know that. But let them know that the investment that they're making can't support 500,000 concurrent users. So you don't want to be in a situation where things are just so dramatic that you can't build a system for a family that's really intended for a country. So you need to make sure that everybody's requirements and those performance needs are really well understood and really well defined. Next, when you start to take a look at performance, I'm sure you guys work with your networking teams, some business analysts, maybe some organizations, people wear a couple different hats. But you really need to take a look at performance from a hardware perspective. Figure out what it really takes to make sure that your systems are going to achieve high performance. Same thing with Windows. See if there's configurations in Windows you can tweak to achieve high performance. Start looking at SQL Server and then your application. So you can't think about performance tuning as an afterthought. You need to think about performance at the beginning. Next, start talking about system baselines. Does anybody use baselines? Couple people, okay, sort of, okay, that's great. They're not easy to put together, are they? No, they're not easy to put together. That's the problem. So I think trying to spend like a full-time job, right, building a baseline, right? Try to figure out some simple means, if it's users, if it's concurrency, figure out what the metric is gonna be for your system. If it's a response time on your web page, and it's for very specific pages, make that your baseline. As you change your system over time, see if you're still meeting that same requirement. Talk about monitoring, analyzing, alerting, and reporting. Definitely very critical. Systems change, right? Basically, we're in the business of changing systems, building and changing systems, right? So as we do that, we really need to understand how those changes really affect the system. Another piece of this, too, really is change management. And change management, I think, recently is starting to get some traction. My partner and I have been talking about change management for a long time because as DBAs, we kind of look at the situation and have seen firsthand when people make a system change, how it actually impacts performance. People drop indexes, it causes a problem. People issue huge update statements, it causes a problem. But was that communicated? Was it documented? When those indexes were dropped to benefit one portion of the application, did it hurt the remainder of the application? Probably, right? So make sure that's really well understood. One way to actually control that is make sure that the permissions are correct on each system. There again, depending on the size of your organization, it might be a little bit difficult. People might wear multiple hats. And finally here, work towards continuous improvements. How many people have legacy applications that have performance problems? Everybody should put two hands up that time, right? So there's no way that you can conquer all kingdoms in a day. So take small steps, prioritize the issues, and begin to work at those just kind of one step at a time. So here we talk about kind of working through things one step at a time and talk about this performance tuning circle of life. So kind of look at this and say, well, Jeremy, talk about people, process, and technology again. And a couple items here. Number one is it's really, you know, most performance problems, there's no magic bullet, right? A lot of times when we talk to customers, they're looking for the one, you know, configuration change is just going to solve everything. Well, unfortunately, that just doesn't happen. Same thing with coding. You just can't make one little change and have your application just, you know, start to just fly like a freight train. So what you really need to do is take a look at the problems and take a look at from a holistic perspective. Take a look at your application front to back and understand where the issues are and how to resolve them. Because really what you want to be able to do here is prevent one big issue, and that's finger pointing. Because what I've seen is I've seen different groups and organizations say, hey, listen, we're having a problem. It's these other guys' fault. And then that other group says, no, it's these other guys' fault. And I see some people smiling, so I'm sure you guys have had this situation. So what you want to be able to do is take out the biases, be able to, you know, show in black and white, hey, these are the problems we're having. We can make these changes to show the improvement. And it's very tangible. It's something that you can say, hey, we've made an improvement. We can see that we have made that improvement, be able to quantify it, and then go address the next item. So before I go on to topic two, are there any questions? Everybody good? Everybody awake? All right. Next thing I want to talk about is design and development. So I'm going to talk about hardware real quick, and I'm sure most people here are developers, so I'm just going to kind of breeze over that point, but I want to at least communicate one idealistic type opportunity to configure hardware and hopefully be able to take that back to your team. Take a look at database design with some of the native tools in SQL Server 2005. From there, talk a little bit about indexing. I'm going to go very briefly over T-SQL coding because I know there's two other sessions here at CF United on coding, so I don't want to overlap on those sessions. And then finally, take a look at graphical query plans. So the first piece here, as far as this hardware configuration is concerned, is there's a few different distinct processes that occur in SQL Server. So across the first line here really is Windows, the SQL Server, program files, the actual executables, binaries that SQL Server runs on, which is one distinct set of processes. The second is tempdb, which is basically a quote-unquote swap space that SQL Server uses for its objects. Third are the database transaction logs, followed by the databases, and then backups and batch processing. What's unique about each one of these is actually how they process. So Windows, tempdb have a very random processing. In some applications, tempdb can be used very heavily. And if that's the case, it's really important to make sure you have tempdb across a separate RAID set. With your transaction logs, though, it's a sequential process in how that data is actually read and written to from a disk perspective. Your databases are typically larger and very random, so it's definitely important to make sure you segment those, as well as your backups and batch processing. And with your backups and batch processing, those disks are probably used at very specific times, so you want to make sure you don't have any bottlenecks between your batch processing and other portions of your drive arrays. So with that, what you really want to do is make sure you set up particular RAID sets to basically support the processing. So a set of RAID 1 drives for your Windows SQL Server, your tempdb, and your transaction logs, and set of RAID 5 sets for databases, backups, and batch processing. So I'm going to hop into my first demo here and build a quick data model. Just by a show of hands, are people familiar with the data modeling tools with SQL Server 2000 or 2005? So it's kind of half and half. Okay. So I guess what I'll do then is I'll just kind of show the interface just for the sake of time. Sorry about that, they didn't have any power. So I'm using the SQL Server 2005 Management Studio. I'm connected to a SQL Server 2005 instance, and I have a CF United 2006 PT database. I can go to the database diagrams folder, right click, say new database diagram. And what I can do here is create a set of new tables. So the first one's going to just be a quick product table where I can add say that again. Can you offer any help, sir? I'm sorry, my screen looks fine. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'll just turn it around and that should work for everybody.
Is that right, guys?
Thank you, sir. Okay, so what I just did here real quick is just in this interface, I'm able to create a table. Be able to identify the data types, determine the nullability. I can right-click on a column name, set it as a primary key. I also have the ability to insert additional columns. So if I want to call this the I can create those columns all in one place. I can right-click, go ahead and create a new table, and I'll call this order. There again, I can still set up my primary key. And then what I'll do from here is I'll actually drag and drop a primary key, foreign key relationship. So I can identify my table name where the, I can identify my relationship name, where the primary key originates, where the foreign key originates in the column names, and be able to basically create that on the fly. So there's a couple points here that I want to bring up from a performance perspective. Yes, sir. Yes, you can, and I'm drawing a blank on doing that. So basically, it looks like I do have that set up as an identity. So I'm not sure why that's the case. Okay. I'll get back to you on that one. The point here that I wanted to make is, although I do like the GUI tools, I do like to create my tables and basically T-SQL scripts, basically for the reason to be able to identify your identity, what your seed and increment value is. But the one point I want to make here is, I can't tell you how many times I've worked with companies and they've never been able to see their data. And what I mean by that is they've never been able to see their data model. They've been told that, you know, there's a relationship between a product and a product order, but they've never been able to visualize it. From a performance perspective, this tool really gives you an opportunity to go back to your users and really show them how things work. So it's not really a technology improvement or technology performance gain. It's really a performance gain when working with your users. Because if they say to you, hey, listen, I want to get this other data point that's on some other table, and you tell them why it's such a problem, you can tell them that till they're blue in the face. But until they can see the pretty picture and really see what it looks like, it's hard for them to grasp. So this is one opportunity I see as a performance gain when working with your users. There again, from a data modeling, database development perspective, it's also very valuable to build the database graphically as well. So I definitely encourage those people who haven't had an opportunity to work with it to definitely take a look at it. You also have the opportunity, and I'll pull up another database here real quick, that if you have an existing database, you can go ahead and reverse engineer that that database and now have the tool actually build the data model for you. It might not be perfect. It might not be laid out exactly how you want, but you really do have an opportunity to see how your database is actually laid out. So if you're in a situation where you're beginning to work with a new application and really want to understand your data structures, this is one opportunity to be able to take a look at your existing database without any additional tools to see how the database really is laid out. Before I go on, does anybody have any questions about that? Everywhere. Okay, so the question was, created a data model, I went and saved it, and then I lost the whole formatting. Unfortunately, I've seen that happen as well. One thing I've seen that may correct it is make sure you have the same service pack on your client machine as you do on your SQL server, because you want to make sure that those two service packs are in sync. I can't guarantee that that'll solve the problem, but that might be one thing to check into. Okay. Was there another question? This one doesn't, unfortunately.
But it will figure them out.
Yes. I'm not sure if any of these databases I have. I doubt this one. No, this one doesn't either. Yes. If the relationships are there, they will be set up. You don't need to rebuild them. Yes. More or less, it is the same. Unfortunately. It's really meant for more of an online tool than more of a printed copy. Unfortunately, I wish that was one thing that was corrected. There are some things with Visio, if you do have licensing for that you can try. But no, by default, there's... And it's even difficult to try to extract the model out into another format, unfortunately. Yeah. So the comment there is you can save it out to PDF and try to crop it. That's definitely one option. Thank you. And print screen. Yeah, print screen is the other option. Go ahead.
When you have to model and you have to be satisfied with the model, can you go ahead and export it to create the table for you?
Well, when you're actually using this tool, you actually are working in your database. So the great thing about this tool is you're making real-time changes. The bad thing about this tool in a production environment when you're not sure as to what's going on, you're really making changes. So one of the things here is if you're actually making changes in your system and you have an issue, and let's just say you want to remove a column, unfortunately, under the covers, the tool at times will actually create a temporary table, move all the data to a temporary table, and then recreate that table. So you might say, well, geez Louise, Management Studio is going crazy. It hasn't come back in 3 or 4 minutes yet, and the table only has like 4 or 5 million rows in it. Well, the reason that's happening is it's moving the data to another table, rebuilding all the indexes kind of under the covers. So what I'd really recommend is using a set of alter table statements to really handle that versus this tool. Really use this more as a creation, and then once it goes to production, then handle that via a set of alter table commands. Well, you could. What you can do is you can. That's right. Use a separate database. Are there any other questions? All right. I'm going to talk through indexing here real quick. Does everybody know what an index is? Yes, no, maybe so? Okay. So one thing I've actually run into is being in a situation where people actually go and issue a query, and then once they issue the query, they go out for a coffee break. Well, what's the problem there? There's not enough indexes, right? Same thing hitting a web page. Go and run through the process, hit a button, and nothing happens, or nothing comes back to the users. The users say nothing happens. You need to make sure you have the correct indexes to support your queries. With page splitting, that's a situation where your database tables are packed too tightly. And because they're packed too tightly, when insert, update, or delete statements occur, the pages themselves have to split. Well, the problem with that is every time there's a transaction, or potentially any time there's a major transaction, there's quite a bit of work SQL Server has to do to be able to maintain the data. Final situation I've seen is really a situation where there's overlapping indexes or a situation where you have every column indexed unnecessarily. So it's really important to make sure that you understand your tables, understand how they're accessed, and make sure you have good candidates for your indexes, whether they're your primary keys, your foreign keys, columns you join on, columns in your where, order by, or group by clause. Something that may or may not be in your purview as well is to make sure you're performing regularly scheduled database maintenance. You want to make sure you have, as well as update statistics, actually either enabled on the database or you're actually executing that on a regular basis. So one statement that I've seen that people... actually aren't familiar with is the system store procedure in the 2005 world called SP Update Statistics. It exists in 2000. It's just owned by DBO and out of the master database. And what this actually will do for you, and there again, I'm on a fairly small database with a small number of statistics, will actually go through and rebuild the statistics on all of your tables. So this is definitely critical as your data changes. These statistics are very critical for the SQL Server Optimizer to be able to perform its operations. It uses these statistics to make the decisions on how the data should be accessed. So it's very critical to make sure that your statistics are updated on a regular basis. Next piece I'm going to talk through real quickly here is the Database Engine Tuning Advisor. And really what this tool does is takes information out of Profiler, and Profiler is a tool in SQL Server 2000 and 2005 that actually captures transactional information. And you can store that out to a table or out to a text file. What we're going to do here is we're actually going to store information in a table that I've already created, and then basically go through and analyze the results to determine what statistics, indexes, as well as any partitions that would be needed for your table. I'm sorry, for your database. So what I'm doing here is I have this profiler test database, and what I want to do is actually analyze the four tables that exist here. So you can, there again, you can pick and choose, determine which databases, which tables you want to include, determine the result, determine where you want to actually read the results from. So I've pre-created a profiler results table that exists. Then from here, I can select my tuning options. And when I select my tuning options, I can determine if I want to take a look at indexes and index views, determine if I want to look at partitioning strategies or physical design structures. From there, when I actually click the Start Analysis button, and the reason I've actually preloaded this is this does take a little bit of time, and I'll actually show you why. But it goes through the whole processing progress to determine all the statements that have been issued and determine where there's been, determine the frequency and determine the reason why that statement's been issued. So in this example, this takes probably about 5 minutes to run with the volume of data that I have. But what I'm able to actually gather here is an 87% improvement. So what I have now is a set of recommendations for the objects, and I can basically go ahead and take this information and then start to use that in the future. So although this has taken me, and there again, for demonstration purposes, I've run this ahead of time, but I can take a small data set, or at least a good sample, a good representation of what occurs in my environment, be able to run it through this tool, and at least get a good understanding of where I can make improvements. And there again, you can take a look at particular points of time during the day, or be able to just take random points in time that you think could be an issue. Go ahead. Okay, the question was, can the Database Engine Tuning Advisor and SQL Server 2005 connect to 2000? I've had a little bit of issues with it. It hasn't been that straightforward. I'd probably recommend against it. But what has worked well is actually capturing profiler data. So you can capture the data from SQL Server 2005 profiler against a 2000 machine and then try to run it that way. To capture the raw data, yes. So you can try to subvert things a little bit and capture the data that way and see if that'll meet the needs. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any more questions before I move on? Okay, great. No, I think my experience has been the aggregate. The aggregate of these changes dictates the estimated improvement. So I can't, it might be the combination of these indexes and statistics that will generate that result. So you might need to do some testing to figure out exactly which ones you need.
Does it monitor actual activity, or do you have to feed it like the kind of statements and queries that you can run?
I would recommend capturing the data with Profiler, saving it to a table, and then running through this process. I think that's the best way to handle everything. Any other questions? All right, moving right along. Next thing I just want to talk about real quickly is database maintenance. And there again, I doubt this is something that everybody takes care of on a daily basis, but it's very critical to your performance. How many people get the oil changed every at least 5,000 miles? Everybody, right? Why do you do that? You don't want your car to break down, right? You don't want to have, you know, with gas prices and everything, you don't want to have, you know, lower gas mileage. You want to make sure that the money you're spending on your car is going to last for the 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it's going to take to pay it off, right? So you need to do the same thing with SQL Server. You can't let SQL Server run in a vacuum. You need to give it the TLC it needs to make sure it runs properly over time. So a couple commands I want to look at here are dbcc show contig, and then we'll take a look at some of the dynamic management views. So dbcc show contig. Is actually a command that will analyze a table and determine the scan density and any type of fragmentation that you have. So the value here is really making an educated decision, making sure that you have the information you need to determine what tables are fragmented, what indexes are fragmented. And unfortunately, I've gone through my session a few times, and right now this table has no fragmentation. But maybe as a rule of thumb, you could say any table that's less than 90 or 95%. You want to rebuild those indexes to make sure that SQL Server has as compact a table as possible when it's issuing its queries. So the way to actually, one option to actually rebuild your indexes is with this command here, dbccdbreindex. And part of the reason I like it is it's very simple, very straightforward. You can actually pass the different sets of parameters to rebuild indexes on all tables, just rebuild non-clustered indexes. And I think there's even some ways to rebuild all the indexes at a database level. But the value here is that this is really, it's an atomic transaction. So if you have a problem, SQL Server basically is able to roll back and get to this point in time if there's an issue. So you can get your SQL Server back to the point in time. And there again, I have a fairly small table here, so this process is going to run pretty quickly, as well as the table is already compacted. But this statement's very simple, very straightforward, and something you can use to make sure your performance is optimal. One of the new areas here in SQL Server 2005 is what's called the dynamic management views. And I'll talk about these a little bit at the end, but I want to hit on one or two right now. So in SQL Server 2000, how did you guys actually get your index fragmentation? Use dbcc show contig, right? And most of the time what people did is they threw the data out into a text file, or they actually reviewed the results to determine what they needed to do, if they even did it. Then if you got slick, you actually tried to throw the data out to a temp table, and then based on some scan density value, try to figure out what indexes need to be rebuilt, right? Well, that's a pain, right? The reason why I think some people didn't do it is it was too much effort, and the perceived value wasn't high enough. Well, what Microsoft has done in the SQL Server 2005 world is actually create what's called a set of dynamic management views and dynamic management functions. What these are actually doing is capturing a lot of system level statistics, storing that in a set of views or accessible through a set of functions that you can actually query and determine your index usage. So determine if an index is even being used. You might have indexes out there in your system that are never being used. So if they're not being used by any process, they're just sitting out there for no reason. SQL Server has to maintain them. You have to have support the storage for them, and they're not being used. Well, that's a question I got asked all the time. How do I know these indexes are being used? Well, in 2005, you can determine that. You also have the opportunity here to determine the operational statistics. And you can pass in a set of parameters to this as well and really have a good understanding at a database level, at an object level, what the usage really is. So you can pass, and there again, I've issued null for all my parameters here. So I'm getting information across all databases, across all objects. But if you're interested in specific databases, you can pass in the parameter for the database ID. If you're interested in particular objects, you can pass in your object ID based on the database ID. Then from here, be able to get a good understanding of what the insert usage is, delete usage is, update usage is, and be able to just start getting the information you need to determine what indexes are valuable, which indexes are not, and how to basically support those over time. So in a lot of circumstances, these questions have just been, you know, black boxes. People didn't really know how to address them. In 2005, we have some opportunities to actually take a look at them and figure out that information. T-SQL coding. I'm going to talk about this very briefly because there's two other sessions, as I mentioned. Number one, and I can't stress this enough, make sure you rely on set-based logic. SQL Server has a set-based optimizer. If you can avoid cursors, avoid looping, SQL Server is going to be much better off. You're going to have much better performance, much better concurrency. Definitely recommend leveraging stored procedures. If you can get your SQL statements in a stored procedure that are compiled, SQL Server can run them and be able to pass in parameters, you're going to get a much better set of performance over time. Same thing with dynamic SQL. Try to use as much compiled code as possible. I know in some search situations, it's a little bit difficult. One of the things you can actually look at there is the full text search indexes, the full text search catalogs, to be able to query those as opposed to your relational data. Next piece we're going to look at is reviewing your query plans. Be proactive. As you build your queries, start to take a look at your query plans. SQL Server has, especially in 2005, has a fairly decent interface to get your statistics for your queries. Start taking a look at those. Start breaking down your queries and have a good understanding of where your resources are being spent. Determine if table scans are occurring. And if they are, figure out the indexes you need to support that. As I mentioned, there is a session from Celine Bainham and I think Nate Nelson as well. So I encourage you to take a look at those materials specifically for T-SQL coding. I'm just going to hop into the SQL Server Query Analyzer. I apologize, is there a question? Okay, the question is it faster to cache the data in SQL Server or cache the data in Cold Fusion? By default, SQL Server has data cache as well as procedure cache. It's basically stored as one. So, and you also have the opportunity in SQL Server to actually, quote unquote, pin tables in memory, so you have data that's basically residing in memory. If SQL Server doesn't have to access the data in disk, it's pretty quick. Getting data directly from memory is quick. But depending on the size of your system, the variety of data, it could be pretty difficult. So if you have particular data sets that you use time and time again, I could see value in caching on the Cold Fusion servers. I think it's really something you do need to test. I mean, and part of it too is you need to understand how to get the data that's changed flushed back out to Cold Fusion. I think that's more a matter of testing and making sure, at least from a SQL Server perspective, your memory is configured as best as possible and you have a sufficient amount of memory. Because one of the things that's a little deceiving with SQL Server memory is that by default, SQL Server takes all the memory it's allocated, right? So you have a hard time determining whether or not that memory is actually being used or not, or if you're paging out. And typically, if you start looking at your page counters, that's a good way to determine if your memory is being used adequately or not. So I really do have to say that's kind of one of those left joins versus exists or not exists. You really need to test that and figure it out. If you can balance the two, you'll certainly be better. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to talk about graphical query plans here, and I'm just going to have a real basic example. So I have a real quick select star statement here. So I just click this display estimated execution plan. And what I actually have down here in the bottom is a graphical representation of my query. And there again, it's a very simple, straightforward query. But what's really important here is you can see your logical operations, your estimated I/O cost, CPU cost, and get a good understanding of what is being used. This is a situation where you can start looking at that left join versus exists, not exists. The problem with this, though, is you have to take a look at this data and basically have your mouse over each piece, which can be difficult to actually store over time. So another set command I want to make sure everybody is well aware of is the set show plan all. And what's really valuable here is you actually get the same query plan. You have the same set of data in a textual manner. But now you're able to actually see your physical operations, your logical operations, your estimated row count, estimated I/O, estimated CPU. So now what you're able to do is actually take this data, store it, and then be able to compare as your query changes over time. Now, was this something you need to do for every query? Probably not. But if there are key queries or key web pages that you need to capture the statistics from, getting back to that baseline again, this could be very valuable information to keep for that core set of queries that you do use for your baseline. Any questions on that? Sir?
Do you have all your commands available online?
Yes. Yes, I'll make sure that you guys get them. Sure. So the question was, are you going to get all the commands online? And yes. I'll get them through CF United. You guys can get them through there. Sure. Okay, so the last piece we're going to start taking a look at is the monitoring and diagnosis. So we're going to take a look at Performance Monitor, which is the macro level tool that ships with Windows where you can capture SQL Server statistics from. And if anybody's taking a look at the 2005 environment versus the 2000 counters, the 2005 counters are far exceed what was available in the 2000 environment, which is great. The same thing's true with Profiler. With Profiler now, you have information related to the CLR, Service Broker, and some other T-SQL statements that never existed before. So you have a lot more that's available to you there. Last thing I'm going to take a look at is locking and blocking. Do people have locking and blocking issues? I saw a couple hands go up quick. Okay, so I'll try to cover that as well. So I'm just going to jump right into Performance Monitor. In the slides, I have two slides full of counters. And these are kind of like a baseline set of counters you can use for memory, your NIC, your paging file, process, whatnot, as well as some of the SQL Server counters. There are some changes in 2005, so you can take a look at those as well, but this is at least a core set that you can use across both 2000 and 2005. So one of the things I'm going to do here is actually... I have a Performance Monitor counter log that I actually have set up. And we'll take a look at the properties of this real quick. So I actually have all these counters that are actually enabled. So you can see I've taken just about everything I could off of 2005 just for the sake of demonstration, so to speak. So we can take a look at the memory counters, your access methods, the broker, service broker, which is a whole new application here in 2005. Take a look at the buffer manager. Kind of right on down the line. What I'm able to do here is save this out to a text file, as well as have the ability to schedule this. So if you know during particular points of time you have issues, you can actually start to try to correlate some information, and we're actually going to try to do that here with Performance Monitor and Profiler. So once I've saved this, I can actually go ahead and start this. And I don't know if you guys can tell or not, but what actually happens is once this actually goes and starts up, this icon here moves from a red color to a green, and you know it's actually running. Okay, so from there, I want to talk about Profiler real quickly and then try to look at correlating this information. So Profiler, so we've gone from the macro level down to your micro level with Profiler. So Profiler is able to capture all your transactional information in your environment. And what's really great here is you have a set of filters you can actually use. And there again, a number of new filters for the 2005 world. What you need to be careful about, though, is that this tool captures everything. So when you have, you know, for example, your database counters enabled, it doesn't miss them. So you need to start taking a look at things like filters to make sure that if there's only particular applications you're looking for, that you can make sure that you scale that down. So for example, you don't care about, you know, people using your business application, or you don't care about people using Enterprise Manager, but you want to find out what all those people that connect your database through Microsoft Access are doing, you need to make sure you set those filters appropriately. We'll actually walk through that here real quick. So I'm able to basically go create a new trace, connect to my database engine. And from here, I'm actually able to determine all the events that I actually want to capture. So what I have the opportunity to do is show all events and show all columns. And as you can see, that the number of objects grows quite a bit. So for example, the service broker is a brand new application, from my perspective, a brand new application to SQL Server 2005. If you know you're having issues specifically in that environment, make sure you drill just into those counters. There's nothing wrong with having multiple profiler sessions running as long as you understand everything that's running in your environment. So if you have particular issues, make sure you focus in those areas, not across the board. You also have the opportunity here, as I was mentioning before, to take a look at application names. First one. So I can determine what applications I want to select. So this name is based on the registered name in SQL Server. So let's just say it's Microsoft Access. You want to make sure you actually use that. And I believe you can also use wildcards as well. So if you know that you're having a particular application name, you want to use that. You can also include your business application as well. So from here, you can actually start to run this and start to capture information. And there again, I have nothing running on my SQL Server, but in a very busy system, this page would just be scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So what I want to show is the ability to actually correlate information from perfmon to profiler. So this is a situation where you have questions. What's going on in my environment? I know that my CPU is going crazy, but what SQL statements actually correspond to that? Well, until now, it's been very difficult to actually determine that. And one of the big enhancements in 2005 is the ability to correlate the profiler and perfmon information directly in SQL Server Profiler. As we mentioned before, you can use SQL Server 2005 Profiler with SQL Server 2000, as well as the ability to use Profiler to capture data out of analysis services. Analysis services is Microsoft's BI or OLAP tool that's actually available. So until 2005, all this stuff was really a black box. So what I'm able to do here, I'm actually going to close this and hope Murphy's Law doesn't strike. I'm actually going to go and open a brand new profiler session. I've stopped my perfmon session just for the sake of sake of demonstration. I'm connecting to my SQL Server. I'm connecting to my profiler test database. And I have a profiler results table. So this is where I've actually stored my profiler data. So what this has done is it's actually loaded all the data. As you can see on the bottom right here, there's about 14,000 rows, and just took some time for that to load. You can see it's actually finished based on this done command here on the left. Then what I'm actually able to do is run through my import performance data. So what I can do is actually now reference a performance monitor log. So I can double click on this. I'm able to actually load the data. As you can see, I'm still reading from the trace table. So I have about 26,000 rows that are actually being loaded. So let me just let this finish. And once it's finished, I'm going to go and try to bring in my performance monitor data. And what we're going to be able to do is actually take a look at the two data sets in one interface. So I'll be able to actually scroll through transactions and see how that time frame actually corresponds. Okay, so that looks like that's finished. So I'm going to go to import performance data. Ah, there we go. And now what I've been able to do is actually now I have an interface into my performance monitor counter. So if there's particular data that I want to look at, and just for the sake of conversation, I think I'm just going to look at memory. And I'm actually going to load all these counters. So once I get to the parent level, it's going to add all the children for me, load through this, and then what's going to happen is I'm going to have that one interface where I can see the corresponding statistics.
Monitor data for a set.
Yeah, for a set period of time, I was running performance monitor and profiler at the same time, and now what I've done is I've loaded my profiler data first, and then once I've loaded that profiler data, now I'm going to reference my perfmon data. And there again, I've just selected my memory counters. And once that loads, what I'm able to do now is see the time period and then be able to look at each one of these counters. And so I have probably about 30 minutes here worth of data that I can actually look at and start scrolling through to see where there's particular issues. And from here, be able to understand the time period that corresponds between these data sets. So I have my start time and my end time with my profiler data, and also be able to see that data here with with Perfmon. So now I have that ability to start taking a look at key counters and be able to correlate those two. So there's a great, from my perspective, there's a great deal of value here from a performance perspective, because you can take those two different data sets and really understand the macro versus micro level and be able to either drill down or drill up. And what I mean by that is you can drill up, I apologize, drill down by taking a look at your counters here at the bottom, and also be able to drill down, taking a look at duration. So I see here that all these transactions here are zero seconds, basically. I can start querying and figure out when their major transactions are actually running, and based on these transactions, then figure out how that corresponds to a particular time period in my graph. Does that make sense to everybody? Does everybody see the value in that? Okay. Okay. So the comment was, is there any way to do this with Cold Fusion? And the comment from the gentleman was, is that there are performance monitor counters, and it was CF reaction, you said?
Fusion reaction.
Fusion reaction. I apologize. Okay. So there's information at a page level versus at a SQL statement level. So what you really could do here is use your correspond those pages with your testing to the SQL server information here. Okay. So there's another, the comment was there's another product called C-Fusion?
Yeah.
It's SEE, right?
Right?
Fusion, okay.
And they actually have a booth out there.
And they have a booth here at Safe United. Great. Another comment?
That's what I was just going to mention. They get that JDBC wrapper around
your queries. Okay. So C-Fusion has a JDBC wrapper around your queries. Okay. Great. Is it? Okay. Well, there you go. Okay, I have about 5 minutes left, so I want to take a look at, I'm going to skip the locking and blocking and just take a look at the dynamic management views here really quick, and it's just the last topic. So as I mentioned before, the value here with the dynamic management views is to be able to capture real-time or near real-time data with SQL Server to be able to determine specific functions in your application. And determine those metrics. So if it's an IO-bound application, determine your IO counters there again in real-time or near real-time. If you're having an issue with full-text search, be able to query these system views and system functions. And there again, when you go to Management Studio, you basically have the ability to query these directly. And it's basically the set of DM views that are available, and some of them accept input parameters, and other are just there again a very simple select statement to capture the information. So there's a great deal of value there. And just one last item here I wanted to look at was actually the index usage statistics. And there again, another situation where you don't really have good insight into what indexes are being used, as I said before, but now you have the ability to take a look at these four or so columns that actually can give you date and timestamps of when the last user transaction actually either seeked or scanned using that index, or the last user actually was able to do that. So you can get information from both a user and basically a system type perspective. So there again, if you know that all these values are null, that index is not being used, it's something to take a look at and analyze and make sure that you can reallocate that storage or make sure that it's not causing a performance problem with other statements in your environment. Okay, just for the sake of time, I'm going to call it quits right here. Thank you guys very much for your time. I certainly do appreciate it. Certainly hope it was a very valuable session for you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.